Now let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We'll begin our reading tonight at verse 8. This morning we looked at the first seven verses of this chapter and particularly focused on Jesus' humble birth and all that that means, how his humble birth was meant to point us to the reality that he had come to live a humble life and to live a humble life for the salvation of his people. And because he did that for us, our response of gratefulness is to be one of humility in turn, that we would be humble on his behalf. So tonight, we're going to continue where we left off here at verse 8, and I'll read down to verse 20, although I will not be commenting on verses 18 to 20. So if you have questions about that, we can talk about it later. But we're primarily focusing on verses 8 to 17. Yet I'll read all of the verses. So let's read God's Word now. Luke 2 in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. There will end the reading of God's Word, and may He bless us as we would look at it this evening together. Now, I may be a little behind the times here, but something I learned this week is that on many of the online news agencies, so things like Fox News or ABC, Yahoo, and some of the others like that, they now have sections on their websites where you can read only good news. Now, I don't know exactly why that's the case. I don't even know if that's even a new thing. But I wonder if it's because they're realizing there are a lot of people today who don't read the news and don't watch the news simply because it's nothing but bad news. It's all about the shootings and the crime and all the problems and difficulties we have. I know a particular person who does not read or watch the news for that very purpose. I won't tell you who it is, although she's smiling right now. Because, and you can understand, you can only take so much of the bad news before it's discouraging. I think Pastor Holdeman even alluded to this a few weeks ago, where it just makes you sad, it makes you cynical, and it's discouraging. And what we want, as we think of all the problems and all the bad news that does exist, is something that encourages us and something that uplifts us. We see here in our text tonight that despite all the bad news there is to hear in the world, and there will always be lots of bad news for us to hear, there's always good news for us to hear too. And as good as some of the things may be that ABC and Yahoo and the others are posting on their sites, this news that we learn of this evening is far better. Because not only does it give us that encouragement or that boost to go on for the day, it gives us an overwhelming joy unlike anything else can give to us. And it doesn't just pertain to some people. It's a message that brings great joy that's for all people to hear. And of course, that good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we will be looking at this evening as we look at this text. That's what the angel came to the shepherd to proclaim, this good news that brings great joy for all people. And since that is what the gospel is, we see that God in this text calls us this evening that we would respond to the news, but not stop there. We would then go on and share and spread the good news as well. So that's our main point tonight. That the gospel of Jesus is good news that brings great joy, and it's for all people. Therefore, respond to the news and share it with others. Now, boys and girls, this is a familiar scene. I thought you could draw a picture of the shepherds as they're out in the fields with their sheep. And then maybe you can draw a picture of this angel. We don't know exactly what the angel looked like, but we know the angel was very bright. So how can you show me that the angel was very bright in your picture? Well, as you can see in our outline, our first point tonight is that the gospel of Jesus is good news. So let's look here at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, as you know, we celebrate Christmas on December 25th. That's in the winter. And yet you've probably heard some people would say, well, here Luke says the shepherds are out in the flocks, are out in the fields with their flocks. And yet if it's winter when this is going on, why would they ever be doing that? Believe it or not, though, December 25th is pretty accurate. I don't think we can know for sure when exactly he was born. But if you study the matter seriously, you'll find that around December 25th could be very much the right date. One of the reasons being, winter is exactly the time when you would find shepherds out in the fields with their flocks. Because Judea has a Mediterranean climate. Now, it's very foreign to us, but what we think of winter does not exist for them. Instead, winter for them is the rainy season. If you look on the back of your outline, I've given you a Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 11, where we see this. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. So the winter is when the rain would make the dry land nice and fertile and lush, and the grass would be growing in the winter. And so that's why the shepherds would be out in the fields with their sheep at that time when they could be grazing. Well, as Luke goes on, as these shepherds were out in the fields one night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. You look at verse 9, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, a couple of mornings ago, I was lying in bed, just starting to wake up and open my eyes when someone turned on the lights. And that was only, you know, a couple of light bulbs, but you've experienced this, haven't you? It's blinding, it's piercing, it's startling. And so you can imagine when an angel all of a sudden, who's not just reflecting the glow of, you know, a couple hundred watt light bulbs, but the glory of the Lord himself would be a frightening experience, right? You're out there, it's quiet, you're by yourself, you see some of the other shepherds and their sheep, and then boom, all of a sudden, here is this heavenly being standing right in front of you, shining with the glory of the Lord. And so they were frightened, but the angel, as we see in verse 10, calms them down with a word. And he says, and this is primarily what we'll be looking at tonight, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Now, what I want us to see in this point is that, notice the angel says, "I bring you good tidings," or "I bring you good news." He doesn't say, "I bring you good advice." Now, this is important for us to realize. Advice is when we tell someone else what we think they should do. So we give advice to singles on who they should or should not marry, or we give advice to our employees on how they can maximize their productivity. In fact, this is what all other religions do. They give advice. They tell you what you should do if you want to be saved, what you should do if you want to go to heaven, what you should do if you want to have a good life. But that's not what the angel said to the shepherds. He told them that he had good news for them. And unlike advice, news is not what you should do. News is what someone else has done. And that's a very important distinction to make. And we see this. When you read the news or watch the news, the reporter's not telling you what you should do. Now, there may be some things you should do in response to the news, But the news itself is the reporting of what others have done outside and apart from you. It's the reporting of something that has happened in which you played no part at all. And that's news. And that's what the angel said he had come to earth to bring. And the good news is, verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That the one they had been waiting for hundreds, thousands of years, had finally come. The Savior who would fix their sin problem was here, and that redemption would be accomplished. So what we need to realize, first of all, is that that message that the Savior has come, that there is salvation, that is a message not of advice, but it's a message of good news. It's not about what you should do or what anyone else should do. It's about what God has done. Well, secondly, as we see, the gospel of Jesus is good news that brings great joy. It brings great joy. So if you look again at verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" And not a little joy, great joy. Or you can think of a floodgate. The picture here is that it's not, you lift the floodgate, the gospel is not just letting a trickle of water go through, it's letting a torrent of joy come through. And of course, the reason being, as the angel said, God has sent a Savior, and because God has sent a Savior, this is what brings about the joy, there is now peace and goodwill from God to sinners. And that's what Luke goes on to tell us in verse 13, when they're out in the field, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You can imagine how frightened the shepherds were when one angel appeared, and yet here's an entire multitude of angels in front of them. And just think of the difference of flipping on one light or flipping on the floodlights at the IU football stadium. There's a big difference between the two here. But not only were these angels shining their blazing light of glory in the shepherds' eyes, they were also filling the shepherds' ears with loud music. And that's what we see here in verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And what I want us to do now is look at what the angels were proclaiming here. And so first we see that they proclaimed that the Savior was born for the glory of God. Right? That it was right for God, having sent His Son to win the salvation of sinners, to receive the highest praise. That's the idea here. The highest praise because of the love and the mercy that He has exhibited through the humble birth of His Son. I think if you think about it, really the birth of Christ is the most glorious display of His grace. But second, and this is what we'll focus on, is that the angels proclaimed that the Savior who was born brings peace and goodwill to men. Now, just as a quick side note, I realize that depending on what English version of the Bible you're looking at tonight, your verse 14 may be slightly different here. Ultimately, the point remains the same. I won't go into the details, but the majority of the ancient manuscripts say what the New King James Version says here. And so that's what we'll be working with tonight. Now, remember, I said this morning that Jesus was born in this time called the Pax Romana, or the Peace of Rome. And here you see that the angels are saying that Jesus had come to also bring peace. The difference, though, is that the peace Jesus came to bring is a peace that's unlike any peace the Roman Empire could ever give. Because it's not man's peace. It's God's peace. And therefore, it's not a peace that's here today but could be gone tomorrow. It's a peace that's lasting. It's a peace that's permanent. And it is, first and foremost, peace with God. It is peace with God. And this is why Jesus came in the first place, isn't it? To blot out the sins of His people, removing the enmity that existed between the holy God and sinful men, came to bring reconciliation. Now, He didn't come to bring reconciliation to all sinners indiscriminately. That's not what the angels are saying here. But to those who embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior, He gives them peace with God, where you can know that your sins are forgiven, where you can know that the penalty you deserve has been paid for in full, and where you can know that death is nothing to fear. The one similarity, though, between the Roman peace and Jesus' peace is that they both came at a cost. And the peace that Jesus brings, of course, came at the cost of his own life. Colossians 1:19-20 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And with this, being at peace with God in Christ also means that there's a peace of conscience. There is a peace in the midst of troubling circumstances. There is peace even in your relationships with one another. That Jesus came to bring peace to sinners. And then third, as the angels proclaimed, with this peace, Jesus also came to bring goodwill to men. You know, the one really flows from the other. Since you're no longer under God's wrath, then you're then able to become a recipient of his blessing and of his love and of his favor. Because you're not his enemy anymore. You're his beloved child. Now, I don't know if you heard about this on the news, but earlier this month there were some police officers in Kansas City, Missouri, who were given $100,000 to go distribute to people in need in the community. And so they'd go out in their patrol cars and they'd look for people that they thought could use a little extra cash. And so they'd get behind them, turn on the lights, pull them over, and come up to the window. And yet instead of saying, you know, "License and registration, please," they'd say, "Merry Christmas, ma'am," and hand them a $100 bill and then walk away. Now, they had $100,000, so they were doing a lot of this. Well, some of the officers were videotaped as they were doing this. And if you watch the video, it's neat to see, because when the officer first gets to the window, you can tell that the person behind the wheel is quite upset, to say the least. And yet as soon as that police officer puts the bill in front of them, you can just see the anger melt away from them and the joy just overwhelm them. And some then get out and they start hugging the police officer. They're shouting for joy, and many of them are crying tears of joy. Because for these needy people, $100 meant the world to them. One lady said, "I couldn't even give my kids a single Christmas gift this year, but now I actually can." And you know, as sinners apart from Christ, we are needy people. And we, apart from Christ, are spiritually dead, bound to perish. And yet God in His mercy sent forth a Savior so that this despite what we deserve, we would be at peace with God. And we would then be the recipient of His good will, His overwhelming love and care. And as good as it would be to have a police officer slip us $100 through the window, it is nothing compared to what the angels are proclaiming here. To have the peace and the goodwill of God, that is something that brings great joy. Well, as we see thirdly, the gospel of Jesus is good news that brings great joy for all people. So let's look again at verse 10. We should all have this memorized by the end of the evening if we don't already. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Now, hear me on this. The angel is not saying that Jesus came to save all people. Nor is he saying that all people will receive his gospel and be saved. What he's saying is that the gospel is not just for some people to hear, it's a message for everybody to hear. That it's a message for the Jew and for the Gentile, for the black and for the white, for the young and for the old. Doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how much money is in your bank account. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a universal message. That's what the angel is telling us here. And in fact, that point is brought out for us in the sheer reality that the angel went to shepherds first rather than to other people. Because in those days, shepherds were outcasts. They didn't exactly have a good reputation among the Israelites. For one, since they were out in the fields all the time, they couldn't keep the ceremonial law, and so they were regarded by the rest of the Jews as being unclean all the time. In fact, shepherds weren't even allowed to give their testimony in a court of law because they were always thought to be liars and thieves. And yet, despite all of that, they were the first to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've given you a quote from Philip Ryken on this, who says, "Shepherds were despised. With the exception of lepers, they were the lowest class of men in Israel. Yet these were the men God wanted to hear the gospel." In our adult Sunday school class, just for the past 2 weeks, we've been watching these DVDs called Dispatches from the Front, where we follow this man as he goes to various parts in the world, opening windows, as he says, showing us how Christ is building his church in other parts of the world. Now, I don't know what particularly has been encouraging for those of you who have been able to see it, but one of the things that's really been encouraging to me is not necessarily to see that Jesus is building his church, while that is exciting, but to see the types of people he's bringing into his kingdom as he does so. Because in the video, who have we met? Who have we heard about? We've met a man who once threatened to kill his very own daughter for having once professed faith in Christ. We've heard of parents who sacrificed their own kids on the altar of Satan. We've heard of those deep in the throes of Islam, and yet by the grace of God, they've believed the gospel of Jesus and they've been saved. Because God can save whomever He wants, and God will save whomever He wants. It doesn't matter what we may think about their situation. And that is why He says this good news, this message of the gospel of Jesus that we're given, is one that's to be given out to all people without discrimination. In fact, the Greek word translated good news here is one that was used in the Roman Empire to announce the new birth or the accession of a new Roman emperor. Right? And as such, this quote-unquote good news was an announcement that affected all the people in the empire. So it didn't matter where you lived or who you were. If you were in the empire, it affected and it was specifically pertained to your life. And so it is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's like a Christmas present. We're all thinking of Christmas presents. It's like a Christmas present. But it's not just for you. It's for everybody. As the angel said, it's a small point, but it's a significant point here in verse 11. He said to the angels, "For there is born to you." Very important two words. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The present has a tag with everyone's name on it. And all that's left to be done is for the gift to be opened and for the gift to be enjoyed. Therefore, as we come now to our fourth point, we need to respond to the good news of Jesus and we need to share it with others. So, after preaching the gospel to the shepherds, the angel went on to tell them in verse 12, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." Now, the point of giving them this sign was so that they would recognize the right baby in Bethlehem. Right? Because there would be plenty of babies born, or probably plenty of babies in Bethlehem at the time, but there's only going to be one baby who would be lying in the manger that night. And that's why the angel gave them this sign, because, as we saw this morning, lying in a manger is not exactly fitting for a king. And so most likely the shepherds, when they would have gotten there, they would have thought, well, this couldn't be the Savior of all people. He's lying in a feeding trough. And so the angels tell them in advance that this would be the case. And so having received the sign, what did the shepherds do next? Verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Right? The shepherds didn't just hear the good news, they responded to the good news. Now I know that we have all heard the good news. We've heard it many, many times. But have we all responded to the good news? Have we made the trip to Bethlehem, as it were? If you've not made that trip, so to speak, like the angels, you need to go now. Because if you go, you will find Him. And He will give you that peace. He will give you that goodwill that we all so desperately need. But notice even that the shepherds didn't stop there. In verse 17, Luke goes on to tell us that, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." So now they responded to the good news. Now they go on to spread the good news. And notice that what they shared with others was what had been told to them. And that's what Luke says in verse 17. But look back at verse 15. All right, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." You see, the shepherds would have never known the good news of Jesus Christ had not it been revealed to them. They'd still be out in the fields, dead in their sins and trespasses. And the same thing is true for those who don't yet know Christ in your life. They need the good news to be revealed to them. And just like the shepherds realized, that's our job. I've given you another quote from Philip Ryken on this, who says, "This shows how much we need the preaching of the gospel. To understand what God has done, we need to have someone explain it to us. This is how God saves us, not simply by sending Jesus to be our Savior, but also by preaching us the gospel so that we can believe in His saving work. God doesn't just do things, He also says things, and we need to know what He says so that we can believe in what He has done." And this is why Paul says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." See the connection between that and what the angel's saying here in Luke chapter 2. Now, yesterday, as I was at a coffee shop working on this sermon, a woman came up to me and said, "Excuse me, sir, but I see you have your Bible with you." I had it out sitting on the table in front of me. So she went on to say, "So can I give you this?" And I reached over and started taking the piece of paper out of her hand and looked at it and quickly realized, oh, she's Jehovah's Witness. And so I quickly handed it back and said, "No, thank you. I wish I would have said a lot more than just that, but that was the extent of it." And yet after she left and I'm working on this sermon and I'm thinking about it, I then realized, here's a woman who's believing a false gospel, who is not saved, and yet she's out there giving me, a total stranger in a coffee shop in a city I don't live in, something so that I will believe what she believes. And I thought, and here I am, the one who has the good news of great joy that's for all people. And what in the world am I doing? When Jesus gave His great commission, He sent each and every one of us to be the heralds of His good news to all people. And so as we think of this passage and as we go out and we interact with friends and family this week, let us not forget how good the good news really is, so that we won't only respond to it, we'll share it with others, because the world needs peace. It's looking for peace everywhere. And the world needs joy. It's looking for joy everywhere. And do you realize that having received it in Christ ourselves, we now have the privilege of bringing it to others, that they too may have that same peace and goodwill and joy from the Father. And so with His help, let us spread the good news, and let us spread it far and wide so that everyone can hear it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please forgive us for all the times we should say something and yet we don't, because we don't want to be inconvenienced, or we're afraid what they're going to think about us, or for just simply not caring that people are perishing around us. Lord, we do pray that You'd help us and that You'd give us the eyes of Christ, that we would look at the world around us and we would see them as You see them, as sheep lost and without a shepherd, as those who need Jesus. Lord, would You give us that burden for the lost? Would you give us a sense of the urgency of the gospel, that there will be a day when no one can make the trip to Bethlehem to see the babe and to receive his salvation? And so we pray that you might instill within us a great excitement and zeal to spread the news and to do it far and wide. And we pray that you would use us. Lord, we've been praying that we would see conversions from our ministry. I pray even this evening, if there are people who have heard the good news in this room who don't know you, that they would be converted even this evening. Lord, I pray that as we would interact with family members and friends this week who don't know you, and as we would interact with our co-workers and our neighbors and those who are suffering, that we would have the desire and we would actually speak the words to them that need to be spoken, and that, Lord, we would be able to see people come to Christ as a result. Please use us to build your kingdom, we ask. Amen.